We've been in a series called Kickstart, and a couple of weeks ago I challenged you, and I want to continue to challenge you. What's one thing in your life you want to see changed? I didn't ask for a list. I just said one thing. And Mary and I have been talking and sharing back and forth about what we've been believing God for. What's one thing that you want changed in your life? Maybe it's something that you've been fiddling around with it. Come on. You're right, Pastor Mike. I've been fiddling around with some things. Maybe it's something you're fiddling around with. Maybe it's something new. Maybe it's something painful. But one thing. Just start with one thing. Don't try to change everything in your life. Change one thing at a time. So I challenge you with that in terms of changing one thing in your life. And then last week I talked about, I went back and I looked at my sermon notes last week. I don't know what I preached last week. But I asked this question. Where's your wall of water that's keeping you from the promises of God? Moses standing at the Red Sea, the wall of water. What's your wall of water that's keeping you from promises? So today I got another question. Question number three. You ready? Here we go. It's right there. What is or where is your Jericho? And what does Jericho represent? That's what we're going to look at today. I believe it's important. You know, to the people on that video screen, those students, they had a Jericho. A number of different types of Jericho in their life. Fear, doubt, unbelief, pain, abuse. The stuff that they load themselves up with from their phones. Stuff. It's easy to fall into it. I was starting to watch some reels at 9:30 at night and laying there for 45 minutes. That's stupid! Stupid! Quit that. Oh, that's one good one to save. So I got this one thing written to myself. I got all these videos I've saved. I haven't gone back and watched one of them yet. But anyway, what is and where is your Jericho? So let's look at the promises that God made to Joshua after Moses died. This is actually practically the only verses I've got here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 and verse 5. Now, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a great leader that impacted my life. That's gone. And you know what God says? Quit your ball babying and get up and keep moving. We've had a number of them. Mary and I have talked about that since 1976. The different people who really made an impact in our life. And one of the biggest ones left early. And I had to go through unforgiveness. I had to just forgive them. Because I was exploding every day, every week. Wasn't I, Mary? I was a nut. But I had to forgive them. But see, here it is. Moses, my servant, is dead. There's going to be people that have had a great impact in your life that are going to move on in one form or another. So you got to suck it up, buttercup. That's what I felt like the Lord told me. Suck it up, buttercup. Now, therefore, get up off your blessed assurance and go over this Jordan River, you and all your people, to the land that I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Don't give up on the promises of God, even if there's people that have been walking with you, believing with you. When they leave, keep believing. When they, you ever been hurt by somebody that's Christian? Get over it. The devil just uses that to steal your promises. All this people, to the land that I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3. That's some good stuff. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I've said, Moses. How many footsteps has Living Word Church laid on this square and continues to lay on this square. I've walked it recently a few times. I need to walk it some more because God has given us this city. A little distraction, but so every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, as I said to Moses. And then verse 5, no man, come on. Why do we let people get in our way of what we're believing God for? This says no man can stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As the Spirit of God was with Moses, so he is with each one of us. Somebody should have been shouting, yeah. Yeah, come on. The Spirit of God knows no difference. The same Spirit that was on Moses is on us for our realm of influence and our visions and our things that God wants us to do. So I will be with you. Jehovah Shammah. The ever-flowing presence of God. That's somewhere else, but I don't know where. I'm just going to go with it. I'll not leave you and I'll not forsake you. We've had, Mary and I, had a few painful things in ministry lately. And you know what God says? Just get over it, you wimp. Quit ball-babying. So anyway, I'll leave you and I'll not forsake you. Number one, the leadership transfer and anointing from Moses to Joshua. Those are the promises that God gives to us in the same way that Jesus' anointing was given to you and me. Get that. The anointing that was on Jesus has been given to the church. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and the church seeks to save the lost. Amen? That same anointing has been transferred to us in the same way it's transferred from Moses to Joshua. That's good preaching there. Number two, his ever-flowing presence. Okay, I already went on that. All right. Now here's the guarantee. Everybody wants a guarantee. How long is that filling going to last, Doc? I don't know. Don't ever bite on it. It'll last till you die. Okay, sorry. 2 Corinthians 1:20. We know this. For some of the promises of God are in him, yes, and amen, through the glory of God, to the glory of God, through us. So God gives us a promise, and we say yes, and then God says amen. So be it. That's review for us, isn't it? But it's a great verse to remember. The promises of God are in him, yes and amen. So what's the significance of Jericho? Jericho was the first step into the promised land that was a stronghold, keeping the children of Israel from their promises. Sometimes Jerichos are our own faith. Well, I don't know if we ought to pray for that property of those neighbors should want to sell to us sometime. Should we do that? I think so. Yeah. And Jericho was strategic because there was no guarantee to get the rest of the promised land until they went through Jericho. Now let's talk for half a second. I'm off my list here. How big Jericho was? How big was Jericho? Well, Jericho was approximately 6 football fields in size. So just think about 6 football fields. It was 600 meters one way and 600 meters the other way. That's not huge, in my opinion. But what was around it was huge. This is on the outline. How tall the brick wall? 25-foot tall brick wall. Where are we here? Maybe 15? Just maybe 15 feet. Imagine 25 foot tall, and it was six feet thick, as thick as me, if I laid down, about 6 foot, right? Josh a little taller than me, so I'll use Josh. Tall as Josh is. And that went around those 6 football fields. Okay? Big. How many blocks, how many stones it took to build that? That was what they were facing. The other thing they were facing, which this was interesting, because Mary confirmed it to me, the Jericho was occupied by pagans. Now, you You know what pagans do? They do pagan things. And Mary goes, there was child sacrifice in that town. I said, sure, they're pagans. That's what they do. They did that. I saw altars in India that were pagan idols, pagan altars of children's sacrifice. It's daunting. So, and everything else that was going on. So it's just amazing to understand the significance that God wanted Jericho down so that it would open the floodgates to the rest of the promised land. And so God said, all right, you can do it your way, or you can do it my way. Which is the best way? God's way. That was not a trick question. So, we're going to just read through. I had all 27 verses printed up on this of Joshua chapter 6. But instead, I just found this outline form, and it's pretty good. So, on the right side, let's look at it. This is what God told the children of Israel to do. This is their battle plan. See, and God gives us battle plans, so be obedient to them. The Israelites were instructed to march around the city each day for 6 days. Then, 7 priests were to carry trumpets made of ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And I thought that was interesting. I forgot that they carried the Ark of the Covenant, which is what? What's that represent? The presence of God and all the promises of God. What was in the Ark? The Moses, the tablets, and manna, and what was the third thing? The rod. Yeah, the rod that he used when he said, stand it. Oh, the rod for your river. The rod for your wall of water was in that Ark of Covenant, okay? And so they marched with that around. That's, would you say that the Ark of the Covenant was probably the most important item that the children of Israel had in their possession? Yes. Nothing stands up to that. So this was precious to them. They would die to protect that ark, right? And then if they unjustly touched it, death came. All right, so no one was to speak or make any other noise except for the sound of the trumpets for 6 days. How hard would it be to march around a building that big, 600 football fields, 600 foot of football, 6 football fields. I'll get it right. Six. Got it. And be quiet. I find it hard to be quiet for a couple of minutes sometimes. You guys are laughing because you're there with me. All right. So that was the first 6 days, right? Write this down. There are always steps of obedience by faith to God's best. This is not news to you. They had to do the steps of faith to show their obedience to what God asked them to do. Did they understand? No. We don't always understand the steps of faith. Get that. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I don't care whether it makes sense. If God said, do it, do it. Right? Why do we have to march around this 6 times? Why do we not say anything? Why do we just have to let the trumpeters trumpet? Because that's what God said. That's why you do it. Obedience. Thank you, Joe, for that encouragement. So there's always steps of obedience by faith to God's best. Well, I had some other notes up here that's pretty good. I'll get back to them. On the 7th day, the Israelites were to march around the city 7 times. The priests were to blow the trumpets with a long blast. And when the trumpets sounded, the people were to give a loud shout. We do that here. Pastor Larry gets on the shofar back there, and we get a little shouting going on. The result, at the sound of the shout, God promised that the walls of Jericho would collapse, and the Israelites then to attack the city and conquer it. How many blocks were in that 25-foot wall that was 6 feet thick that covered 6 football fields, went around that? How many blocks? How many years would it have taken them, stone by stone, step by step? A little bit beyond my comprehension and understanding. And it all came down. When they went, oh, hallelujah! and shouted that wall down. Amazing. The focus. The unusual method of warfare emphasized this victory came from God and not military strategy. You know, sometimes we make a plan. Doesn't seem to work, does it? Well, maybe we got to back up and say, maybe that wasn't God's plan. It was my plan. Because God's plans will always work. It was a test of faith and obedience to the Israelites, and it highlighted God's power to accomplish what seemed impossible through human means. Now, I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 1 there, Larry, verses 2 and 3. I got a few notes here that I missed. All right, so Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan and all this people to the land. To the land. God's promised best is that. We have things in our life that are His promises that are the best. So we don't want to settle and stay on the other side of the wall of water or the walls of Jericho to the best. And you know what's neat about this? Which I'm giving to them. God's best is a gift. God's bests are a gift to us. Always. Never not. They're always the best. And then verse 3. Every place. Every place. Sometimes you got to walk it out. Sometimes you got to walk the property. Every place. The sole of your footsteps is yours. That's why they had to get through Jericho, because they had to walk the ground on the other side. That was their promise. Whew. Glad I went back to that. Hallelujah. So, just kind of summing it up on the left side of the outline there, key factors to the victory. Completely having faith in the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says all those promises are yes and amen. Obedience in the battle. Boy, it takes obedience. You got to go all the way. Number 3, faith in God's power that is greater than any impossibility, right? It's greater than any impossibility. And here's an interesting thing. You don't have number 4 on your outline, but in Joshua... Larry, would you put up Joshua chapter 5, verse 1? This is number 4 and key factor in the victory. We need to understand the mindset of people who were in Jericho when they heard about the children of Israel. Whoa, I forgot it was a long verse. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites went. Okay, let's read this. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard. What'd they hear? They heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan. See, the devil hears when you get your miracles. The devil hears when you get your victories. The devil hears that you have a victory. They heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over. And then their heart melted. Come on, somebody do a little shout in here. Come on. The devil's heart melts when we take our ground. And there was no spirit in them. They had no fight left. Ever seen anybody that gives up in a fight? There's no fight, no spirit left in them any longer because of the fear of the children of Israel. Church, we've got the victory. We've got the victory. Let's stand. For each one of us here, Father, and I just pray specifically for 5. Kids, would you stand, please? I just want to pray for each one of you. So fix your eyes on me for just a minute. I'm not the best looking guy on the planet. But I just want to bless each one of you. I just want to bless you. Stretch out your hands, please. We just want to bless you. You've got battles to fight that I never did, and we never did. But you know what? You can win. But you have to choose to win. You have to choose to walk the walk. You have to choose to win. You have to choose a lot of things. You may have to say goodbye to some things. You may have to say goodbye to some relationships. You may have to say goodbye to some thoughts. Well, I thought this. Well, I don't care about your thoughts. What about God's thoughts? Because they're much higher than ours. So I just want to pray a blessing. We bless each one of you for the best school year you have ever had. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. So for everybody else, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his holy peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said amen and amen. 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 Hallelujah. Go and serve the Lord. Have a great week.